Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thank you for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. It is 8:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. here. I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning.
And we're joined right now by our good friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center. Good morning, Paul.
Yes, good morning, you guys.
How are you doing over there?
Doing okay. How are things there?
Good. You know, a little bit of a London-esque fog that we got going on around
foggy.
Here. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, definitely kind of a dreary day upon us here. And yeah, it looks like we'll deal with the clouds and the fog here throughout as we'd otherwise stay with temperatures that won't move much from where they are. Set to steady and right around 33 today with a light east wind. Tonight, cloudy skies, some areas of fog, 25. Could see a little bit of light mixed precip overnight, maybe a couple snow showers. And then on Wednesday, cloudy skies and mid-30s for highs. Some patchy areas of fog again tomorrow. 26 Wednesday night, still looking quiet and fairly mild into Thursday with some clouds and 33. 22 Thursday night and the weekend heading into it on Friday with more clouds and sun, 29. Some more highs around 30 Saturday and mid-30s coming up on Sunday. I'm meteorologist Paul Troundley.
Paul, we were doing an article earlier today where we were looking at the snowiest place in Wisconsin, and it turns out it is Hurley, which is a little north. Is there a time of year that we can always count, or you as meteorologists can say, well, we know we're going to get a lot of snow at this time of year. We're going to get bombarded at this time of year. Is there an average for that, like an average time of year that we know we're going to get that, or is it just it's chaos, it's entropy? Who knows?
Yeah. You know, I haven't looked for a while, but I'm thinking that a lot of times from around the region, the snowiest months can vary from December to January, but I'd have to look specifically at your part of the state.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because sometimes, but yeah, overall it is kind of chaotic. You know, some years, February is the snowiest month, some it's December, some it's March even. So, yeah, it's definitely variable, yeah.
Appreciate the updates as always, Paul. We'll talk again tomorrow. You have a great day.
Hey, sounds good. You too.
Best in the business right there, our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. Good to talk with Paul. We'll talk with him again more tomorrow. We got some fun stuff lined up this hour for you. Melissa and I are going to get into Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club a little bit. Looking forward to that. But right now, let me see how I can do this. Let me see. Yeah, shaving a haircut. Shaving a haircut saves nine. Like, that's it. Do you know that's what that comes from?
I didn't. Okay. I mean, I've heard that, yeah, but I didn't realize that that's what the knocking came from.
I think a lot of people know the knock, the rhythm, and the return rhythm that you did. Nicely done, by the way. but I don't think a lot of people know the shaving a haircut saves nine. Like that old phrase.
What is that from?
This we'll get to that. I'm glad you asked. Nice setup. You're great. You're a great partner. You really are. This is one of those things people knew like 30 years ago, but less and less now. TikTok's new obsession of the day is shaving a haircut. The fact that it has a name. They're freaking out that it has a name.
Okay.
Nobody realized this. A TikToker in England was watching Netflix with subtitles on when someone knocked on a door. And the subtitle said it was the shaving a haircut knock. He knew the knock itself, but not the name or the song that goes with it. So he had to look it up. He posted a video about what a weird name it is and what the two bits part at the end means. And it's an old-timey term for a quarter. A bunch of people in the comments didn't know either, and not just young people, a few folks in their 50s had no idea as well. If you were a kid in 1988, you may have known the movie Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Yep.
There's a whole scene about how the tune characters can't resist singing two bits if you do the knock. For everyone who did know, here's a bonus fact. In England, they don't sing the two bits. They sing five bobs, which used to mean five shillings. But I think that your original question is really where one of the things I wanted to get to with this. But I do love the idea of this kind of like having a second life.
Yeah.
I think that part of it is pretty cool. I don't know necessarily how long that'll last, you know, or anything like that, but I do think it's pretty cool. The first known occurrence of the tune is from an 1899 Charles Hale song, At a Dark Town Cakewalk. hang on a second. At a Dark Town Cakewalk. That is a weird title. That takes you in a lot of different directions there. That I had never thought of a cakewalk at a like dark or anything, but while it wasn't until 1939 when the great, the legend, the wonderful Milton Berle did this, shave and a haircut shampoo, which used the notes near the end that the brief tune had lyrics. Very cool. I didn't know that part. That part I didn't know. Now, they use this, if you are a Muppet fan, you've heard this a billion times. And if I remember right, Kermit and Fozzie Bear were having a discussion. And Fozzie said something about saves nine or something like that. And I remember asking my mom or dad or somebody like that. And that's the only reason I know any of this, because I've always been a weirdo and I got to know like the origin stories of everything. And boy, you think the kid, why? That kid is annoying? Imagine having me as a child. That why is not nearly enough. I need to know the origin story of these things at eight. Like, you know, that's the my poor parents. But yeah, Milton Berle. Yeah, that is pretty cool. That is a pretty cool one. I love the idea too that they did this with the subtitles.
Yeah, that they included that on the because a lot of times I have noticed that they'll have more descriptive subtitles when there's just sounds happening.
The subtitle game has been like raised so much. I don't want to get this wrong, but I know with all the streaming services now being so like, it seems like there's some that just kind of they're regular subtitles, but there are so many of them where you can change the color of the font, you can make it bigger. Obviously, we've always had all the different languages and stuff, but I really, you know, I really like that they do that now and everything. I think it's really cool. I wish I could remember which one it was. I want to say maybe it was Amazon, but probably not. There's some site where you put the closed captioning on, and it goes by where the character
standing.
Yeah, that is really cool. Like that, I don't need it that much. There's so many people out there that do. I mean, if for them, that's got to be a real game changer. Like, it's one thing to be able to just watch and read, but when it's like moved around and everything,
it increases your ability to enjoy it.
Have you ever seen Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
I have.
Oh, have you?
It's been a lot of years, but yes, I did see it.
I wonder if it holds up, because, boy, that was a game changer back in the day.
Well, yeah, having animation and live characters at the same time.
Yeah. The voice acting was on another level than I remember before that. I mean, now it's kind of common, but... and, of course, the great Christopher Lloyd.
Well, of course.
I remember this too. I forgot about this, but I remember that they got some pushback from some parents on that because of the ending, the way his character died and everything. Like, it was, I'll even say for me, I was a bit older at the time. I think I was a teenager when that movie came out or whatever. Maybe not. I know I was mature enough and I had seen a lot of violence. And even I was a little like, well, this seems a little over the top.
It's a little dark. Kids
movie. Yeah. It was his screaming and stuff at the end and all that. I think that's what it was. And him turning into a cartoon. Oh, I'm spoiling the movie, but it came out in 88. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Come on. Yeah, that was an interesting one. So, got one other one I wanted to get to, and maybe this is That Ain't Right story. I'll let you guys decide at home with the morning show play at home version. Parenting in 2023 is weird. Here is the latest example. A single mom in Chicago needed her 11-year-old to defrost a lasagna before she got home, and had to track her down inside a video game to make it happen.
What?
The mom's name is Cha-Cha Watson, great name, and her daughter's name is Miracle, or Mira, for short. Screenshots from it have been making the rounds online. They like to play games together through an app called Roblox.
Okay.
It's a platform where you can play lots of different video games, and their avatars are friends, so they can see when each other are online.
What game you're playing and stuff. Yeah.
When Mira wouldn't answer the phone, her mom got on Roblox and saw she was in the game called Berry Avenue. That's kind of like The Sims. So she popped onto the game, sent a direct message telling her to take the lasagna and garlic bread out of the freezer for dinner, and it worked.
Of course it did.
Mira was driving a car in the game when she got the message, but pulled over to run to the fridge. Cha-Cha said she posted these screenshots to show people what you have to go through to get your kids' attention these days.
That's great.
Well done by both mm-hmm. in that one, Cha-Cha and Mira. I like that Mira pulled over.
Right. Well, because it's like that, though, with games, because I play online games with my brothers, but sometimes you gotta schedule things. Like, I was in the middle of doing sourdough bread. Mm-hmm. So you get interrupted every 15 minutes for a period of time in there when you're doing your stretch and folds. Yep. Well, I can't be off, you know, hunting trolls in right. in the middle of it, and then my timer go off because right. I would die.
Yeah. I have this happen with Madden all the time, where mm. I'm in the middle of a game and I'm zoned into it and everything, and I've got other, you know, world life responsibilities that I've got that pull my attention. The worst one, one of the worst ones, and I'm not proud to admit this, but when I was young, when I was a teenager, is just remembering to drink something. Like, I'd be soaking into the games and everything. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm really dehydrated. Oh yeah, I haven't drank anything. Like,
but a lot of those games you could pause.
Yes, yes.
Now, a lot of the games, you don't have a pause option.
That is weird. Because I maintain, I've said this for a long time, I maintain the two greatest inventions to video games, the pause button and the save button.
Yes.
Like, easily. Like, mm-hmm. These kids don't realize how lucky they are with save points.
Oh, where it automatically saves for you? Yeah.
My buddy Craig loved this game, Ninja Gaiden. He loved it, and he was bound and determined to beat that game. And he would leave. He had a small TV in his room, and he would just leave the game on.
Mm-hmm.
And to the point where we're playing one time, like he's trying to play, like, and the screen looks like it's stuck, but it wasn't stuck. It just had been there too long, and it froze. Like, parts of the screen had frozen that way.
Good old tube televisions.
Craig beat the game. He did beat the game. It took him like 2 weeks to beat it, but he beat the game.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
So my that ain't right part of this is for the kids. Like, you can't get away, kids. Like, nope. No more.
They're going to find you.
Yep. I actually think I think that you, as a parent, you could easily say, well, the that ain't right part is the parent. No, I think she was pretty smart on this. She was really good on
this. She knows how to get in touch with her kiddo.
More power to her. Mm-hmm. If you're a kid, good luck. Like, good luck. I like hiding anymore. Like, there is no more of that.
No, but I love the fact that, yeah, she pulled over and went and immediately did what her mom asked her to do. That's great.
I wonder how many people really are benefited from, because we've seen enough statistics and they've been around long enough now where we kind of see, hey, there is something to video games and eye-hand coordination and and all this stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. I had a buddy who used to play the old NASCAR games like crazy, and he swears that helped him be a better driver. I was in the car with him once, and we're driving up north somewhere, and I couldn't get over how like perfect of a driver he was. Like, it was almost annoying. And his first thing he said out of his mouth, oh yeah, 98 NASCAR or something like that, he said, or whatever
video
it was.
Games.
yeah But I think that there is a little bit to that. There is
And there's more science to back up the actual benefits of video gaming.
Yeah, I don't know if that how quickly that's going to get a lot of people onto video games if you're not already on board with them. But I do think that you're kind of getting to a point here in the game where it's a little silly to not at least understand there's some video games. There's some people that like to play games on their phone. There's some people that like a PC. Some people like a gaming system.
Yeah.
But at some point or another, there's going to be a game somebody likes.
Right. There is something for everyone because you have all of the options. Like, for instance, it's well documented within my family that I am terrible at first-person shooter games.
Oh,
because you have to walk and turn your head.
Yeah.
And I have a real problem with that because I'll be walking and I'll be looking in a different direction than I'm walking, so my gun or whatever weapon I have is also not pointed in the way my face is. So, like, no, we need your help over here. I'm coming, I think. I don't... Where are you?
I can relate to this so much. I back in the day, like, there were a couple, like, Doom and a couple of first-person games I played, but otherwise, no, I was bad at those games. And I love the idea of somebody out there listening to this that has no idea whatsoever. What do they do in video games? What are they talking about?
Well, the other thing, too, is that some games, it's inverted, where up is down and down is up. Yeah. And my younger brother, he's like, you need to learn both. Because I'm constantly switching it. And he's like, no, you need to learn Breath. I'm like, bro, I can't.
Yeah.
Like, that's just not going to happen.
Yeah. I mean,
you're lucky I can do it one way.
I'm with you on this. Like, yeah, you're lucky I'm even in the game. Like, yep. My character knows how to use its weapon, like, you know, or something like that. Like,
I need down to be up and up to be down every game.
Every game. Every game.
That's how planes work.
Take a break. Come back. Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. It's mornings on WFHR. It's time for Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club, one of our favorite parts of the day where we get to celebrate you and talk about our great friends at Misty's Menu. If you are hungry, treat yourself. Get on over to Misty's. They're open right now till 2, open 6 to 2, 7 days a week at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. Wishing a good, great, wonderful day to all of our friends at Misty's.
Mm-hmm.
We got a nice list today, Melissa.
Ooh,
got
good.
A nice size list today.
All right.
I need a 1 through 5.
Ooh, I'm going to pick 5.
Okay, there we go. That gives us our qualifier. So we can get right into the celebrating. And first up, we want to wish a very happy birthday to Bill Oswald.
Happy birthday, Bill.
Bill, enjoy your day. Hope it's a good one for you, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Want to wish a very happy birthday to the wonderful Jamie Knippel.
Happy birthday, Jamie.
Jamie is married to one of my older, better friends, Aiden. Jamie's wonderful. She's great. Very funny. Just a fun person.
Great enjoy
mom,
your day.
Husband, a wife, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And very happy birthday to Molly Barth Garber.
Ooh, happy birthday, Molly.
Molly, we hope you're enjoying your day. Have a great one.
Mm-hmm.
And a really special happy birthday to Sheila Bowen.
Happy birthday, Sheila.
Sheila is the radio traffic person, the Pam, if you will, of WDLB and WOSQ, our old cousins and brother and sister stations when we were with C. Hafer Broadcasting.
Oh.
Sheila, one of the best people I've ever met in this industry. Easily. Easily. I love going up to Wausau just to see Sheila, if anything else. You know,
awesome.
Wonderful human being. I hope she has a great day. Enjoy your day, Sheila.
Happy birthday.
I think they would agree with us that, I mean, she really is the Pam of that station. She really is. Lucas Stashik is our qualifier today.
Hi, happy birthday, Lucas.
Hey, congratulations, Lucas. I always like that name, Lucas. Mm-hmm. It's a good name. We wish you a great day, Lucas. Enjoy your day. Hope it's a good one for you.
Yes.
You're our qualifier. We do want to remind the audience, get us your birthdays and anniversaries. Send them to info@WFHR.com or james@WFHR. Mm-hmm. Direct message us on Facebook, Morse code, smoke signals.
However you get it to us. We appreciate the ones we have.
Yeah, really do. Mm-hmm. Keep them coming, everybody. Taking a look at our celebrity list. I had to look this lady up this morning. I was not familiar. Carissa Alvarado from the Us the Duo. That's the name of the band, Us the Duo. Okay. She is 32. This is a couple that do a top hits of the year melody every year.
Hmm.
And like the one that I saw for this year, they're just sitting there and she's got their baby in her arms. And he's like, are you ready? And then they just go and they just start singing and kind of doing this little thing. You can tell it's just for fun. But mm-hmm. man, they got a ton of views. They are huge, like as wow. far as, people watching them online.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. Brent Smith is 45, lead singer from Shinedown.
Hmm.
Ooh, the wonderful, the great Jermaine Clement is 49 today. Oliver Byrd in Legion. Now, many people might know him as the giant crab that sings Shiny in Moana. But many of the rest of us may know that he is the other half of the Flight of the Conchords.
Oh, yeah.
One of my favorite English voices, Jermaine Clement. Him and Matthew Berry.
Oh, he was in What We Do in the Shadows, too.
Yes, he was. I wanted to get to that part, because his performance in What We Do in the Shadows is the reason I will watch Jermaine Clement the rest of my life. He's so good in it.
Mm.
I don't want to take anything away from Taki or any of the other great acting or performances in that, because there's some nice good spots and everything. Mm-hmm. But if you've never seen that movie, do yourself a favor for Jermaine Clement alone. He's so darn good. I can't even think about it without laughing. Let's see here. Brad Roberts is 59 today, lead singer and guitarist of the Crash Test Dummies.
All right.
Mm-hmm. That song they had
oh,
on.
Oh, yeah.
Sean Colvin is 67. Wow, 67. Mm. She had a huge hit in 1997 with Sonny Came Home. and sang backup on Suzanne Vega's big hit, Luca.
Oh, yeah.
Good singer, songwriter, kind of underrated, but That Sunny Came Home was huge.
Yeah, I always got confused. I always thought Sheryl Crow sang that song.
At that time, I don't think you're alone there. At that time, there was a rise of female lead singers.
Mm-hmm.
And you had Sarah McLachlan and Ani DeFranco. You had so many, Melissa Etheridge, so many that they had the Lilith Fair kick off around that.
Yes.
And that become a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of great lead singer songwriter, female leader singer songwriters, the wonderful, the great Pat Benatar is 70 today.
Wow.
Happy birthday, Miss Benatar. Hit Me With Your Best Shot, Heartbreaker, Shadows of the Night, Love is a Battlefield, We Belong, Invincible, A Little Too Late. Pat Benatar got some hits to her, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Quite a few, actually. George Foreman, 74 today. One of the greater fighters of all time.
And, even I've heard that name.
Got a pretty nice grill, too. I don't know, is it ego or is it legacy that you name all five of your kids George Foreman and you name your daughter Georgina?
Mm.
I don't know how I feel about that one. I don't know. One of my favorite singers of all time, favorite producers of all time, favorite human beings of all time, one of the greats, Donald Fagen, is 75 today, lead singer of Steely Dan.
Ah.
Donald Fagen would drive you crazy in a producing studio. He wanted perfection, and he would get it. So much so that he actually blew out Michael McDonald's voice while he was doing, not even really singing a whole song, but the famous song Peg. You hear in the refrain, Michael McDonald, Peggy will come back to you. He blew out his voice doing that because Donald Fagen, it was just not hitting. Nope, again, no, again, no, again.
Does the man smile?
No. I genuinely believe Donald Fagen has never smiled. Okay. I love him. I love his work. He would probably drive me absolutely insane if I was in a studio with him. Mm-hmm. But I would want to do it still. I'd still do it. I will say this. For all that craziness of him, you have a heart. Like, listen to the album Asia from Steely Dan, front to back. There's not one note in that album that's off.
Not perfect.
Not one note, not one singer, anything. It is literally like, I'm not saying it's a perfect album in the sense of like everybody's going to dig it, but there's nothing off in that album. And most of Steely Dan's work is like that.
He smiled in 2017.
Hey, there we go. That's a good shot of him, too. That's a good shot. Love me some Donald Fagen. And the man with maybe the man that started one of the greatest hair trends of all time, Mr. Rod Stewart, is 78 today. Also an incredible singer and songwriter himself, who has been in the public eye and had hits in multiple decades.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole messy hair look, Rod Stewart was doing that way back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
Like, now it's not as big of a thing. You know, messy hair, it was pretty big in the early aughts and stuff, I guess. But Rod Stewart really, quite the career, quite the life, the legacy. Still doing it, too. Still performing.
I'm just trying to look through his list of songs because there's one by him that I really like. I can't remember what it's called.
Forever Young?
Nope.
No? Okay.
It's not one of the super popular ones.
Okay. He's got a couple that I don't mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I certainly am a lot of respect for the guy. When you think of it, let me know. Even if it's the middle of another sentence, go ahead, Joe, throw it out. Some people no longer with us. Again, singer-songwriter day today at Melissa. One of the greats, I think, at least. Jim Croce, born on this day in 1943, passed away in 1973. Blue-collar genius. Mm-hmm. Bad, bad Leroy Brown, Time in a Bottle. I got a name operator. All I have to say is I love you in a song. And, of course, my dad's favorite song. It's such a summer song to me because I remember him getting in the car, putting in his tape deck, Jim Croce's greatest hits, and going right to You Don't Mess Around With Jim. And the look on his face when he would drive around Chicago with that song playing. Like, On September 20th, 1973, during his Life and Times tour and the day before his single I Got a Name was released, Croce and five others died when their charter plane crashed into a tree during takeoff from Louisiana. How many of our musicians we've lost to planes? I'll never forget being a kid and Stevie Ray Vaughan in this state, his plane crashing and losing him. Because that was one of my guys. Like, Him or Carlos Santana is probably my favorite guitarist of all time. And when that happened, it just stays with you. Because it's not just the artist that died. It's you think of every other artist that has died in a plane crash. Aaliyah, you right. know, obviously The Day the Music Died and those artists. Mm-hmm. Like, there's just so many.
Mm-hmm.
John Denver. And forgetting names, there's been so many. It's crazy. But it speaks to, hey, how do these guys make their money? They got a tour.
Travel.
They got to travel. Yep. Because music producers and everything, they don't own their own darn music. They don't own their own creations. So they got to do these things.
Well, and then when you look at, like, tours of where they go, they're, you know, down south on a Friday. On Saturday, they got to be up in the Twin Cities. On Sunday, they got to be in California. I mean, you can't drive that quickly.
Mm. And one more person no longer with us, the great Ray Bolger, born on this day in 1904, passed away in 1987. Long life. Mm. He was the Scarecrow in The Wizard of Oz.
Oh.
My favorite part in that whole movie. I love the Scarecrow.
Oh, yeah.
Big Scarecrow. You don't get called Scarecrow growing up and then see a Scarecrow in a movie and be like, oh, hey. Especially, he was so good. Mm-hmm. He was really, really good. He was one of the early examples. Actually, that whole movie is filled with it. The Tin Man, the Lion, filled with, for me as a young kid that wanted to be an actor, dissecting everything I saw, like actors that can push through makeup. You can still see their facial mm-hmm. expressions. You can still see all their everything. He was really good at that.
Well, and he was in so many movies. Babes in Toyland. He played with, starred next to Judy Garland, Doris Day. I mean, wow. Yeah. There's just so many.
Great actor. It's unfortunate. I mean, not necessarily unfortunate. It's a big movie. It's one of the biggest movies of all time. It's understandable that he's kind of known for that role. But mm-hmm. thank you, Melissa, because his IMDb page should be looked at. He's got a great career. He had a great career. One more time, we want to wish a very happy birthday to Bill Oswald,
mm-hmm.
Jamie Knippel,
yes.
Molly Barth Garber, our good friend Sheila Bowen, and our qualifier today, Lucas Stasik.
Awesome. Happy birthday, everyone.
Yeah, happy birthdays to everybody out there. Wishing you a great one. Enjoy. Sit back, take a listen to Melissa's news, and then head on over to Misty's Menu. They're open right now till 2, 6 to 2, 7 days a week at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, thank them and wish them a great day from all of us at WFHR.
I like this song.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. I know a thing or two.
I'm not aware of too many things. I know what I know if you know what I mean.
It's a sly, sneaky, smooth beat. Mm-hmm. You know, that bass. It's nice.
Oh, yeah.
It's nice. Got some fun stuff lined up for you from now to 10 o'clock. Going to get into a couple of fun stories here. Got some stuff. Where is it? Oh, yeah. Got a little bit of entertainment news for you. We are going to be joined at the top of the 9 o'clock hour by Patrick from High Gear Promotions.
Mm-hmm.
And let you guys know all about High Gear Promotions. Get to know Patrick a little bit. Looking forward to that. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yes, yes.
I did want to take a moment, Melissa, to remind everybody that this Thursday we kick off a old, new, fun segment.
Yeah.
It's new because we haven't had it in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Years, I want to say, actually. but it was a long time thing here at this station. And if I've got this right, and this is coming from other program directors and other people from around the area that I've talked to about this, that have reached out to me and told me about this, I believe WFHR were the originators of this Pet of the Week thing.
Really?
I'm not saying that I know that, but mm-hmm. it seems it's sounding like it. To be fair, we have been around for 80 plus years.
Yeah.
So maybe it would make sense.
A little bit of a history. Mm-hmm.
But our friends at the Southwood County Humane Society are going to be joining us this Thursday and every Thursday
awesome.
With our Pet of the Week.
Woohoo!
I'm so excited to have this back. God, I can't tell you. I genuinely cannot tell you how excited I am. Some of you guys may remember how me freaking out about having the Weather Eye Weather Center people back on the air with us live. Very similar thing.
Mm-hmm.
This was a longtime favorite of Carl and Pam's.
Mm.
I don't know I ever saw Carl light up the way he did when dogs came into the studio and stuff.
Awesome.
It's fun. I've talked about this a little bit already. Because I'm so excited to have it back, you can tell how bad I am at keeping things secret or anything
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to bring it up, though, as well, because while this is fun and we're going to enjoy doing this, we're doing this for a reason,
right.
Of course.
There's a point behind it.
Yeah.
And not just to get to play with dogs on Thursdays.
Yes, which it was in my contract, to be fair. It was in my contract. We're going to have different sponsors throughout this at times where we are able to put a highlight not just on our Humane Society, but on a local business. Mm-hmm. Like our first sponsor is Bow Wow Meow Boutique.
Nice.
Wonderful place that almost anybody with a dog has been there at one point or another.
Or should visit.
Yes, yes. Great people. So things like this we're going to be able to do. While also telling you about this wonderful animal, this creature that's coming into mm-hmm. the studio with us. And mm-hmm. maybe if you're out there and you have the room in your heart and your home to be able to take this animal in, maybe you're going to be able to meet your new best friend.
On the radio.
Yes, yes. It's so much fun. Also, a reminder to you as well that the Southwood County Humane Society is always looking for an extra hand.
Yeah.
If you can volunteer, if you've got an hour to kill and maybe walk these dogs, or mm-hmm. if you've got it when you're picking up food for your dog, and you know what? I can swing an extra bag. I'll grab that extra bag and I'll drop it off at the Humane Society.
That's a great idea.
And for me, I want to make sure that, well, our locally here, our Southwood County Humane Society is awesome and great with wonderful people. Wherever you're listening to us, because we got listeners all over the country, there's a Humane Society near you.
Oh, yeah.
And chances are they're just as great people running it and mm-hmm. could always use an extra hand.
Always use the help.
So I don't want any of that to be lost in the shuffle, and I say that to myself because I'm the one that would make it lost in the shuffle.
Don't lose the focus, James.
Dog. That's all I'll be. I'll be lucky to be able to actually handle that conversation with them. I may just actually have the Humane Society people do all the talking while I'll just watch the dog.
Will you pet the dog?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Sounds right.
Dive into some random facts. This is one of our Tuesday favorites we haven't gotten to do in a while. Weird, wacky, random fact time, Melissa.
Okay.
Hippos' skins can naturally produce sunscreen.
Really?
That's pretty cool. I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
They secrete a red fluid that works as an antibacterial and a sunscreen against the harsh sun in Africa.
Huh.
What I would like... Now, I've seen videos of hippos, you know, coming up out of the water,
uh-huh.
and you see like a red hue,
yeah.
kind of.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's what that is or not, but I got to think it probably
yeah.
is.
Yeah, it's a coating on their skin.
I would love to know if that was evolution or they were just born that way. You know, like maybe they evolved living to be able to survive the African.
I would imagine that they did evolve that way.
Hmm, interesting.
Yeah, that is cool.
A senator named David Rice Atkinson might have been president for one day. James K. Polk's term ended at noon on Sunday, March 4th in 1849.
Hmm.
The next president, Zachary Taylor, refused to be sworn in on a Sunday. Since Atkinson was the president pro tempore of the Senate, he was the next in line of succession.
Hmm.
So even though he was never sworn in, and a lot of historians dispute it, technically he was the president for a day.
Wow.
Interesting.
Because it couldn't be without.
You have to have a president.
Right.
There's never, since we've done this, we've never had a time where there isn't somebody
mm-hmm.
technically in
stepping into the place if need be.
Yeah. Which I don't think we give enough credit to the thought, the insight in that, and to the forefathers that set that up, system the way that they did.
Right.
They worked so hard to make it so, okay, there is never going to be a king. We're never going to have hierarchies or kings or any of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to do everything we can, no matter how discombobulated it might seem or weird it might seem, to make sure that there's no one person too high up on this ring. It's like, okay, yeah, Congress has got this power, but the Senate has this, and the mm-hmm. president has the veto and all this stuff. Like,
mm-hmm.
it really is pretty masterfully done, considering what they had to work with.
Right.
And by that, I don't mean technology, computers, or any of that stuff. I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of shared history throughout the world.
Mm-hmm.
What we knew of China back then was like a lot of like wives' tales and things like that. Like, what we knew of the way other countries handled their politics.
Right.
It's really quite, I mean, this experiment that we are doing here as of democracy, it's really incredibly amazing. Like mm-hmm. when you think about it, how long this has lasted, what we've been able to pull off. It's really impressive, and we take so much time tearing each other down or tearing or, you know, or complaining or any of these things, and all of that is fair game. Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we could also do the other side of things, too, and be like, my God, this system's pretty amazing the way they got this set up.
Yeah.
And that we've been pulling it off this long.
Mm-hmm. But those are important points to talk about, too, though. to be aware of how it works and why it works and how we need it to keep working.
We've got people sitting in Congress right now that don't know half of this stuff. Like, I mean, yeah, that should tell you something right there. The IRS requires you to pay taxes on money you get illegally. So if you rob a bank, sell drugs, commit credit card fraud, or anything else, and you get caught, you could be audited if you haven't paid up. Dang.
So, you know, let's say you just, I don't know, sold a few stolen cars on the side one year, and you go to your tax person, and you're like, all right, so, you know, I got this money. I can't really tell you how I got it, but I really need to pay the taxes on it because I don't want to be audited. So, how do we do this?
I love the idea of the overly polite criminal. That's a good one. They say crime doesn't pay. It really doesn't pay. You're going to pay. During the Battle of Bunker Hill in the Revolutionary War, most of the fighting didn't take place on Bunker Hill.
That's correct.
It happened about 200 yards away on Breed's Hill. It's one of my favorite random facts. I love that fact. My grandfather told me that when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And the world's largest Dairy Queen,
okay,
is in Saudi Arabia.
What?
Yeah. Huh. Okay.
I didn't know it was an international company.
I wasn't sure it was, but I darn sure wouldn't have said a Saudi Arabia.
No.
That's interesting.
Well, you know, if you live in a desert, I imagine ice cream is something you probably want a lot of.
Every year, California farmers produce more than 3 billion pounds of almonds, or about 80% of the world's supply.
Wow.
That's, man.
80%.
One of the things I didn't know that, but I do know, there's a lot more farming in California than I think if you haven't been there, you wouldn't realize, but there, especially when you get to the middle part of California, you can't go 5 feet without seeing some gardening, you know, some farming going on with plant life and
trees
and vines or something going on.
Yeah.
It's very different farming than we're used to.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still, there's migrant farmers and farming just in almost every town I stayed in.
Mm-hmm. Orchards.
Yes. Orchards. Yes. 97% of federal cases and 94% of state cases end with plea bargains, not a verdict. This is why Law and Order is not more realistic
than real life. Nope.
Very boring show.
Mm-hmm.
Killer whales aren't whales.
No.
They are dolphins.
They are dolphins.
Mm-hmm. This is a really interesting one, I think. Back to the Future and Teen Wolf. We're in theaters at the same time in 1985. So Michael J. Fox was battling himself at the box office. Back to the Future was number one. Teen Wolf was number two for 3 weeks in a row. This does not happen very often anymore. There's so much more. I'm not going to, because most of the time, I do a movie with this studio, and they're going to release it in spring. And I do a movie with this studio, and they're going to release it in spring. And when they find out about this, they're going to move it a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to move it out of the way or something
like that. Well, yeah, because they don't want to compete with themselves.
So I don't mean to make another sports metaphor or anything like that, but this happens sometimes in sports with the MVP race. You have two great players on the same team. They split the vote, and neither of them win, and some other person wins the vote, wins the MVP race. This is a similar thing that movie studios are worried about. If I put out two Michael J. Fox movies, they're just going to split, and neither one rises to the top.
Yeah.
So I wait a couple weeks, and then I'll release. And then Jude Law is probably the last actor that I can think of that ran into this. Because there was a stretch when Jude Law first got his big break and was big name and everything, you couldn't go a month without a Jude Law movie coming out. it's gotten a lot better for him with his career, where he's kind of picks and chooses his roles. Mm-hmm. But for a while there, it was like that. The only actor in human history, and I've studied this, I've looked into this, that has ever pushed against this is Samuel Jackson.
Really?
They do not care. It's Samuel Jackson. He'll get hit. People will see his movies. They're not worried about that.
No. But this does explain why we had Back to the Future 1 and Teen Wolf on the same VHS tape.
Yeah. Right on.
Then Back to the Future 2 and 3 were on a different tape.
I miss that. I may be the only one, but I miss being able to just put a tape in, and for the next 8 hours or 6 hours or whatever it was, you got back-to-back-to-back movies. Mm-hmm. Maybe the editing wasn't always the best on them.
Yeah.
The quality wasn't the greatest, but they were all right. And finally, the sound of running water will make beavers start building with whatever materials they find.
Really?
Even if they're not by a river.
Huh.
I believe that they found this out because of zoos.
Oh.
I think. Just a little bit of homework I was able to do on this. I think that's where.
Okay.
Yeah. Kind of interesting. That's really neat. Kind of fascinating. Beavers are pretty fascinating in
beavers
general.
Beavers are cool. And have you seen a baby beaver? They are the cutest thing.
Huh. I don't know if I have.
They are super adorable.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you ain't kidding. Yeah, that is a cute. I have definitely never seen a baby beaver because I would remember that. Oh, them swimming is even better.
And the fact that the way that they live in the dens and they have to get to them under the water, I've just always found beavers fascinating. And what they do for our ecosystem on rivers. Oh. It you know, they prevent the flooding, they keep forests healthy, they keep rivers healthy. I mean, beavers are incredible creatures.
They really,
and they're really,
are.
Really important in our ecosystem.
Thank you, beavers. Thank you, beavers. We appreciate you. Take a break. Come back and have some more fun on mornings here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. We are going to have a fun 9 o'clock hour for you, everybody. We are going to have Patrick come in. Pat's from High Gear Promotions.
Yeah.
We're going to let you all know about Patrick, about High Gear Promotions. We're going to have some fun with that. That is how we're going to kick off our 9 o'clock hour with our chamber interview as we continue that session.
Excellent.
Looking forward to it. We also got a Then A Right story, some good stories of the day, plenty of those kind of things for you. Right now, though, this was an interesting one, and I got to say, this is one of the more interesting Christmas cards I think I have heard of.
Okay.
This is from the holidays, but it's making the rounds now. A mom in England asked her young daughter what she was writing in a Christmas card to a teacher. So the girl read it out loud. Quote, "You blame your farts on the children." That's rude. There's a video going around of this right now that I do encourage people to go ahead and check out. It is hilarious. This little kid, well, let me just go ahead and let me see here if I can. I don't know how. I was worried about the audio on this one, so I wasn't going to play it, but I'll just call an audible and see.
Right, Rosie, what is that you're writing to a teacher? What does that say?
You blame your farts on the children.
And why are you writing that to a teacher?
Because that's rude.
That's rude.
No, say. That little donkey card. I'm not gonna do that.
We're gonna rethink that.
I gotta say, there's something about her being English that just makes it that much cuter and that much funnier.
Blame your farts.
I gotta think too. I'm a teacher technically, but I mean, I don't know. I'm not I don't like to put myself in the realm of like real teaching and stuff. But either way, if I got that card, I'm laughing hysterically at that. That I can't see getting bent out of shape about that or anything. Is it a little rude? Sure. But I mean, that's kids. Have you ever spent 5 seconds around a 3 or 4 year old or anything?
Well, no, they don't filter.
No filter whatsoever.
They're going to tell it to you like it is.
You have funny hair. Like, how many times a little kid has looked at me and said something about my hair? And
why does your face look like that?
Yes. You wear weird clothes. Like, I've heard it all. And
why
all
do you always wear black?
It's always funny. It is always hilarious. I've never once gone, how rude of you. How dare you?
Yeah, they're kids.
It's a kid. I mean, what are you doing here? I don't blame the mom because the other side of that is being the parent of that child.
You ask the parent. You are the checks and balances.
That can be mortified. My son asked a woman once. We're standing outside of, I think it was Piggly Wiggly or IGA or something like that. We're getting ready to leave and just getting my stuff situated and all that. And I didn't even see this lady. And this kid, my son, and I'm married at the time, mind you, and looks at this lady and says, "Are you here with someone?" Straight up.
How old is your kid?
Oh, JC was like 4 or 5.
Oh my.
Like, maybe closer to five. Maybe closer to five. But still, like.
Are you picking me up? Like, what's going on?
I don't believe I've ever been more embarrassed in my life than that moment.
She probably thought it was funny.
She laughed hysterically at it. But she left before I could say something like, that was him. I don't like. This woman is probably walking the earth thinking, I had my son like going to single women or going to women in general. Just right. asking them
their marital status.
I'm mortified by it. Was mortified.
That's hilarious. Like,
it's a whole different thing for the parent to be embarrassed of the kid. That's. Which is only fair that when they become teenagers, when we embarrass them, it's only fair play.
It's full circle there.
Yep. They may not remember them embarrassing us as children and everything, but we remember.
And rub it in.
Oh, yeah. Got some entertainment news I want to get to. Also these That Ain't Right stories. And there is a good story, too. Not a very long one, but a story that Melissa sent over the other day that really made my day. So I want to try to make everybody else's with all that. And we got plenty more coming up for you on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio.